watching what's happening with these markets as we invite back into our stream John Stolfus, Oppenheimer's Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist. It's always good to see you, John. And there's something in your most recent note right at the top where you, the key takeaway, 95% of S&P 500 companies reporting earnings growth, and that's up 93.8% on revenue growth of 25.8%. My question to you, with the S&P 500 at record highs, how do we sustain that? This seems way out of sync.
Well, I think, Adam, the first thing is we have to keep things in context. By the way, thanks for having me on again. Really appreciate that. It's good, always good to be here with you. But if you keep things in context, what we do is we recognize right away that these phenomenal earnings growth numbers in particular are really because the comps are so easy when you go up against 2020. Now, what we've got to say is when we look forward on this, we're just hoping that the market will keep things in context when we begin to see earnings growth and likely, hopefully not revenue growth as much, but that when we see these beginning to come down, they'll keep them in context of the fact that the comps will get different as we go forward in the quarters ahead.
John, speaking about some of the trends that we could see going forward, you also mentioned the M&A activity that we've seen so far this year through August 20th of 2021. It's up sharply from both 2020 as well as the same period in 2019. Is this something that you think will be sustained and some momentum here in the M&A division going forward?
Shauna, we really do. We think that, you know, especially when we look at it and we see those numbers not up just against the easy comp of 2020, but up against 2019, this is a very good trend. And we think a lot of it has to do with those changes that are related not only to the business cycle, but the secular cycle, in the sense the longer term issues that are the way the world is changing as a result of technology, adjustments that are going to be made as a result of most likely moving away from a one country centric global supply chain. And with all of that, we think that there's going to be a continued movement in M&A activity as companies look to either dispose of non-core assets, find bolt-on acquisitions, and perhaps some major mergers. And if the politicians have their way, we may even find some breakups among some very large companies. So M&A looks like a good place to watch and to own stocks that could participate positively in those areas.
John, in the past, when we talked about mergers and acquisitions, I mean, they throw out that word efficiencies, which used to mean someone's going to lose a job. But today, in a labor shortage, when you look at the M&A activity, is it really about unlocking value for companies, or is it that interest rates are so low, if I'm an acquirer, I can't afford not to reach out and gobble up?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. It is looking for greater efficiencies. Some of those greater efficiencies might be in positioning the new entity in a fashion where it is able to be more competitive in its space. But we also do believe that you will find an opportunity for jobs here, that if companies indeed continue the pattern we're beginning to see, hire and train, this could actually be a very good thing. We don't believe it's going to be the M&A activity of the period when I got in the early 80s in 83, when I got into this business, where it was, you know, LBOs, rationalization of employee base. We don't think so. This could be a new twist on M&A.
John, with the rise of cases related to the Delta variant, have you changed your strategy, or do new investment opportunities look more attractive to you as a result?
Shauna, we have not changed our strategies. Our favorite sectors continue to be information technology, consumer discretionary, industrials, and financials. We only have two underperformed sectors. Those would be energy and utes, or utilities. We think energy's pretty well had its run in utilities. Well, it's going to be facing modestly rising interest rates moving forward, we believe. But we would have to say this is, on a day-to-day basis, the market remains highly prone to both rebalancing and rotations. And it could be a factor of nervous investors, traders. It could also be just the algos that work the system. And so we believe broader diversification, Essentially, what we're operating with now is for quite a few this year, a barbell where we combine growthier value with garpier growth, or growth at a reasonable price. We add the IER so it can match the growthier of value, garpier growth.
John, as we look for that garthier growth, is it going to be driven by crude? I mean, but you pointed out, and I think last time you were here, we were actually praising you for calling what was going to happen with oil, that, you know, it's below $75 a barrel. Today, WTI is at roughly 67 bucks a barrel. Or is it going to be, you know, Congress is about to dump at least $1 trillion into the economy through the bipartisan infrastructure bill? What's going to drive it further?
We think what drives that, the sector further, or what drives
equities further?
Okay, well, equities further. We think it has to do with the secular trends in technology and globalization. We think the earnings are not solely the result of accommodation by the Federal Reserve and fiscal policy, but it's the use of technology. Not only the innovators, but those companies that can use innovation to operate more efficiently, protect margins, create a better way to operate and maintain shareholder loyalty and attract new shareholders as they become more profitable.
Always good to see you, John. John Stolfus is Oppenheimer's Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist. We look forward to the next discussion.